Freedom is an important thing, something never to take for granted. Abe Lincoln said it this way: freedom is the last best hope of earth. Abe Lincoln, speaking of freedom. And I had to throw this in. Dick Cheney said it this way: it's easy to take liberty for granted when you've never had it taken from you. Yeah, isn't that true? We live in a land of freedom. We have freedoms that we are so surrounded with every day that it's easy to take them for granted. And yet when you travel around the world, you realize that the majority of the world does not experience the freedoms we experience. We are uniquely blessed of God to live in a country where we can gather openly, where we can carry the word of God without fear, and we can praise Him. We don't have to park our cars out back. We don't have to fear police breaking in on us, hauling us off to jail. I got Voice of the Martyrs this past week. It was perfect timing. What a reminder that the world we live in is not so free as we are free right here today. And to be grateful for the gift of God that it is to live in a country where we have these kinds of freedoms. Now, we are far from perfect, these United States of America. Our leaders are corrupt at times. There are power struggles. There are actually sinners that comprise our country. Big surprise. But we have freedom, and it's something that's noteworthy as it gives glory to God. He's given us this gift. We don't deserve it. He gave it to us. Other countries do not have what we have, and so let's not take it for granted, not just another holiday to blow things up, which is fun, but another holiday to blow things up? What other holidays do we blow things up on? I don't know. Oh, yeah, that's right. I love these holidays, I tell you. Jen won't let me buy fireworks because I don't use them like they're supposed to be used. Anyway, moving on. The gift of freedom. The gift of freedom. Now, think about this. What is freedom? If you look up in the dictionary the definition of freedoms, which I love defining words. I'm learning this. I love looking at definitions here. What does freedom mean? Well, one dictionary put it this way. Freedom is the right or the capacity of self-determination as an expression of the individual will. The state of being unrestricted, unconfined, unfettered. It's an exemption or immunity from an obligation or duty. That's what it means to be free. To be free. That's interesting. There are words in there that jump out. That as Christians, we should be, there should be little flags that go up for us. Wow, that's a fascinating definition. Independence. This is another word we celebrate. We declared independence so that we would be free. Okay, so they play hand in hand. Independence. What does independence mean? Some synonyms: self-rule, autonomy, sovereignty, self-determination, or self-government. That's some synonyms for the word independence. Here might be a definition: a state of perfect irresponsibility to any superior or sovereign. The United States are free and independent of all earthly power. Okay? Thank the Lord that we are. That's deep at the core of what it means to be an American, is to be independent, free. Okay? Now you can probably see where I'm headed with this. We're Americans. We are independent and free. Good? Yes. Yes. But there's more. There's more, isn't there? Independence implies not only a lack of restrictions, but also the ability to stand alone, unsustained by anything else. That's another definition of independence. Now, the Declaration of Independence, July 4, 1776, had some fun looking back over that. These men gathered together from all the 13 colonies or states, and they signed this thing, and we declared that we will be free from England. We will be free. And some of the wording in here, fascinating wording: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These things are important, essential. Life and liberty, freedom, independence, and the pursuit of happiness. I would emphasize the word pursuit. The word pursuit. The founding fathers of our nation, though, they knew something more needed to be spoken. Besides just the words free and independent, self-determining, self-will, autonomous. And they actually said some things that still shape us today. For instance, in our very currency of what it means to be free, autonomous, self-determining, it says, in God we trust. Now, why would they add that? It's an important thing to have in view. In God we trust, written on the very currency of our freedom. In God we trust. There's something more in play. You see, freedom on this level, yes. But the founding fathers of our nation knew there was more because there is an interaction this direction that was different. Very different. When we say the Pledge of Allegiance, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic, that which is free, independent, without any sovereign, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God. Oh, so you mean we're not totally independent then? You mean that we don't self-determine everything? I mean, we're not autonomous from all things. There is some sense that the fathers of our nation wanted us to be clear about how this goes. On this level, this is our desire. But when it comes here, under God. It's in Him we trust. They had it right. Oh, if that would describe us more. It's sad to say, these words, they don't ring true, do they? The vast majority of Americans cannot say in the life that they lead, in God I trust, or I am under God. While Americans, they've missed what the founding fathers wanted us never to miss. Now, I know there's reinterpretations and all these things. We want to vilify every past dude that's ever lived. They've all been sinners. They all were sinners, okay? So we know they fall short. But there was noble intentions in the shaping and the founding of our country. And they knew something of what I'm calling the bigger story. You see, there's more than just this flag and the colors that it flies. You see, there's a globe. There's an entire earth. And the nations of that earth make up humanity. That means that it's not just the red, white, and blue that matters. One nation under God, not all nations. We're just one here. There's a bigger story. We're just this collection of states, but there are other countries. There's more to the story than just our self-determining existence politically here. There's a bigger story. It brings this flag into play. And so what I'd like to do is spend some time this morning considering the bigger story and how it relates to independence and freedom. The bigger story begins in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. You can find out a lot about where a person stands in their worldview by asking them how they understand the very first few words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You ever fly in a plane? Just ask someone that question. You will know right where you're needing to go as far as personal evangelism based upon where they go with that one. Your confidence in the Word of God. He is, He always has been, in the beginning, God. And then it says, created the heavens and the earth. If it exists, He created it. And it goes on to say, He spoke and things just erupted into existence. Genesis 1 and 2. God created. What He created was good. Very good, He said. And He blessed it. And He enjoyed it. And it was right. This is His world. If it exists, it exists for Him. He made it. And He created this man called Adam. And He placed him in this perfect garden. And He brought all the animals. And Adam named the animals, which is a fascinating thing to consider when you're like, well, who named the anteater? I mean, seriously, get a little more creative, Adam. Oh, it's eating ants. Ant eater, done. Next. Okay, you know, it's like, come on, man. Okay, he's naming the animals. Then the Lord says, it's not good that this man is alone. So he causes a deep sleep to fall over him, removes a rib, and creates woman. Yes! All the guys said, yes! Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman. And now the man is no longer alone. He has a helpmate. The two become one. The first marriage instituted by God. Harmony. This is the epitome of perfection. And then comes Genesis 3. This is what I would refer to as the very first Declaration of Independence. One of the darkest days in all of history. You see, all of us have in our story, the bigger story, this Declaration of Independence. It's in us. It's in our nature. Genesis chapter 3, the enemy comes into the garden and he whispers temptations into the woman, Eve, and she says, oh, maybe God is holding out on us. Maybe there is more. Maybe this tree he said don't eat from, maybe we should. And she did. And Adam, standing next to her, did nothing to stop it. He ate with her. That was cosmic treason. When we, the sea of humanity, in Adam and Eve, our forefathers, we declared our independence, our self-determination. We'll be God. We'll make our own rules. We'll rebel. We'll write the story the way we prefer. And what I would suggest is the first Declaration of Independence led not to freedom, but to total slavery. Total slavery. So that all the descendants of Adam and Eve not only sin, but have at their very nature, the deepest thing about them is sin, nature, fallenness, children of wrath, the scriptures speak. So that everyone born from the cradle to the grave does nothing but sin, apart from the grace of God, interrupting their devious and evil ways. This is important for us to understand. There is a world populated, no matter what flag flies over the country, no matter what political system, you know, free, dictatorship, whatever you want to put over it, slaves, all of humanity is enslaved apart from the grace of God, even if politically they are free. We are, as sinners, born into bondage. We sin not because we sin because we're sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. See, we're not born good and then we go bad. We are born dead and we do dead things, spiritually lifeless. That's what dead people do. They do dead things. They sin. That's all we do. Born as slaves into bondage, and it's who we are. So if you talk about Declaration of Independence, every 4th of July, let this holiday serve as a trigger. I mean, think trigger of the first Declaration of Independence, Genesis 3. Think always bigger story. Okay, the bigger story. The first Declaration of Independence, I made in the rebellion of Adam and Eve. It's in me. I prefer my own will. I prefer to write my own story. I want my own way. I prefer to worship me. Not you, creator, sustainer, author of life, born into bondage. Now, let's get to the next flag, because this flag represents the intention of God before he even spoke the words, let there be light. This was in view. This was the plan from the beginning. The promise of freedom. The Old Testament is full of scriptures that speak of this promise. The Jewish people waited every day to hope and see that there was a Messiah that was being revealed who would save. The promise of freedom, bring life and hope. Isaiah speaks of it this way. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and an opening of the prison to those who are bound, to set the captives free. Jesus quotes these words from Isaiah when showing his, proving his messianic intentions to John the Baptist. He quotes these verses. The promise of freedom. Here comes another promise. The angel of the Lord said, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And everything made sense all at once for Joseph. Oh, okay, sure. No, that was a tremendously overwhelming promise that the angel made. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? Freedom. He will save his people from their slavery into sin. Their slavery will be broken by this man. The promise of freedom comes in the name of Jesus. Now, the purchase of freedom. As Americans, we know this well. This didn't just happen, did it? This freedom we have, it was purchased, fought for. People died to win that freedom. We don't take that for granted. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, God, he made Christ, him, to be sin, who knew no sin. Jesus was sinless, and God said, you be sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. He made Jesus, the perfect man, to be sin. My sin he took to offer freedom. The purchase of freedom was the infinite cost of the most righteous and holy man to ever walk on this earth, innocent and killed. Isaiah writes it this way, he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. That's Genesis 3. That's the Declaration of Independence echoing in every human heart. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Think about this. By his stripes, I am healed. Why would that be? Who chastised Jesus? Who whipped Jesus? Who killed Jesus? The earthly answer on this level is the Romans did, at the hand, at the will of the Jews. But the real understanding of this cross is that Jesus died under the righteous wrath of God that was applied on him instead of me. God whipped Jesus. God killed Jesus in wrath to pay for my sin, my death, my hell, our sin, our death, our hell. That is the price for the purchase of freedom. God sent his son into the world to die in our place under his wrath. It's an amazing thing to consider. Amazing thing. Freedom is never free. We often say this, but we only think on one plane. We don't think bigger story. There's always a bigger story in play. Freedom is never free. Every time you think of that on this plane, get vertical. You're right, it's not. It's not. Look at this flag. It's not free. It's been purchased in blood. The blood of the innocent. Slain to buy freedom for the guilty. The power of freedom. What is the effect of this freedom? What is the power of this freedom? It's bigger than anything this freedom can ever dream of. The power of freedom. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. This freedom is bigger than life. this freedom is stronger than death. So when you live in the freedom purchased for you by Jesus, you live in a freedom then, and you can face death and stare it in the face and say, it's not death to die. Death is no longer death. We talked about peace this morning in Sunday school. That's peace. To look at death and say, it is not death to die. I'm free. I'm free. The power of freedom. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Free indeed. Free like Paul, who was in chains, not free. Bound in bondage under Roman authority, in chains. And he writes this, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's freedom. That's the kind of freedom we're talking about here. It's the bigger story. Freedom that people in the underground church in China and Iraq and Iran, they know well. Because they don't know this kind of freedom, but they know this kind of freedom. Peace, joy, life, death. No, death is gain. Death is gain. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Be free. This freedom is way bigger than any circumstance of life. It's way bigger than any political system. It's way bigger than anything on this earthly plane can touch. And it's kept in heaven for you, because Jesus paid it. He bought it. The point of freedom. What's the point of freedom? For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. He didn't free you to be a slave. It's like the inmate who's in prison his whole life and then is set free, and he doesn't know how to live free. He only knows chains and walls. Don't be a slave. If he sets you free, be free indeed. Be free in him. It's the point of freedom. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, I came that they may have life. What kind of life? Abundant life. Freedom. This is risk-taking freedom. This is adventurous freedom. This is peace-living freedom. This kind of freedom that says, honey, let's sell it all and go to Africa. That kind of freedom. Who would do that? They do it all the time. This kind of freedom that says, no matter what, we will stand firm. Be true. Obey the Lord. Be faithful. Come what may. We're free. We're free. Abundant life. That can happen under any flag. You see? Doesn't matter what color is the flag that flies over your country. You can be free. In a way that no political system can touch. So the last great hope of planet Earth, I would disagree with Abe Lincoln. It's not freedom on this plane. It is freedom on this plane. Freedom is here. This is the hope. Political systems will rise and fall. This freedom stands. The ultimate point of freedom is God's glory and our joy. The reason all of this has happened is to make much of God and to find ultimate satisfaction in him. His glory, my joy. Just live that. If you live that way every day, every decision you make, what will make most of him, what will point him out, what will be his greatest joy in glory, and what will be my most satisfying place of decision in him. What can I do to be most satisfied in God and point him out for the most glory. That's freedom. That's freedom. We are freed from and freed for. Here's kind of a side note, because a lot of times we miss this. We are not free to just wander around. We are free for a purpose. We're not freed to just sit there and be like, oh, it's so good to be free. Just, hey, let's get a bunch of free people and hang out and build a building and we'll call it a church. And we'll just make a club for free people to just chill out. That's not what freedom is for. We are freed from sin and for something. Live as people. Here's our text. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover for evil, but living, okay, free as servants of God. This is fascinating to consider. Live as free servants of God. You once were enslaved to sin. Now you are enslaved to God. You are free and enslaved to God. Be a servant of God who is free and alive. We use this language all the time. We belong to Him. What does it mean to belong to Him? It means He owns us. We are His. He bought our life. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Glorify God in everything you do. Be a servant that seeks to obey and pursue and delight in life, liberty, and the pursuit of God. How about that? Don't use your freedom as a cover for evil. Oh, you don't understand. I'm free. He saved me from all my sins. I can sin it up. Let grace abound. You hear the objection? Well, if He paid for all my sins, doesn't matter what I do. Wrong. Paul said it. Peter said it. That's backwards. That's not at all freedom. In fact, this guy said it this way in a book I read years ago. Oh, wait. Yeah, that. This guy said it this way too. This would be David. Listen to how he speaks of freedom, okay? This was the call to worship. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I shall walk in freedom. There's another way to translate that, in freedom. I'll walk in a wide place. I'll walk in freedom, for I have sought your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, not be put to shame. Why? Because I delight in commandments. Freedom is obedience. Freedom is walking in submission to. Freedom is living rightly with and pursuing this God in a relationship of intimacy and love and obedience. To be free is to keep His law and delight in it. Delight in obedience. I find my delight in your commandments. I love your commandments, He says. I am a servant of you. That makes me free. I walk in a wide place in your commandments. I'll lift my hands towards your commandments, which I love, and I'll meditate on them. This is another angle on this. Thomas Groom, a book he wrote on Christian education. Unrestricted freedom is a form of slavery. So it's, hey, let's just hang out. We're free. Free for the path of least resistance. To be free to do what I will in relation to another is to be free to be in bondage to the law of least resistance. To be free for union with God is to be free to enter into communion with other people in a relationship of love and service. That's freedom. This is a far cry from the rugged individualism that is often taken by people in our society to be the epitome of human freedom. The epitome of human freedom. You have been freed from sin for God. For God. So lest we get hung up on what He has commanded us to do and get confused with this as if it's somehow pulling down joy or a bunch of rules and laws. Oh, they're just a bunch of killjoys, those Christians. That's not the point. The point is He gives us commandments because there's life there. And if you want to live and find joy and satisfaction in Christ, that's where you're going to go. That's freedom. That's freedom. The world knows nothing of freedom. God knows what true freedom looks like. It transcends political systems. True freedom is not found in independence, but in dependence. True freedom, let me say it again. True freedom is not found in independence, but in dependence. Think every 4th of July, if I could just get us to trigger off when this happens, 4th of July, independence. Independence Day. So for the Christian, every day is Independence Day. Every day, for everything, we are independence upon Him. Independence Day. Think of the things. We are independence to God for the pardon. We are guilty. The verdict is death, wrath, hell. The pardon comes. I paid all of that by pouring it on my Son, who was, by the way, innocent. This one, I pardon. He goes free. Be free. My Son died for you. By faith, through the grace of God, you come together with that freedom. We are independence to God for purification. This is what happens after I am saved. This is the work of God to purify and wash and clean and make me learn how to be free. All I knew was slavery to sin. And He says, no, no, no. Be who you are. Be free. And I say, yes, I want that. And then there's this old tugging sin nature that indwells me that says, no, no, no. That's not freedom. That's boring. There's life over here and over here. No, no, no. Lord, I am independence upon You for purification. Train my mind. Build my affections, my delight for obedience. We are independence for that every day. We are independence to God for our perseverance. Lord, hold me. Or as it says in the Scriptures, I believe, help my unbelief. Strengthen my faith. Help me persevere. I don't want to get to the end of the race and then run off some other direction. I want to persevere in my faith. Hold me, O Lord. Independence to God for protection, for provision, for plans. I ran out of P words, but the stuff just goes on. Right? Everything is His gift to you. If you can breathe today, independence on God for every breath. We followed a guy last night through Lowe's. He's missing a leg. Everywhere he went, crutches. And standing there, tricky. I take that for granted. I walk all over the place. Lord, thank You. Thank You. And on and on and on. Grateful Christians are those who are most clearly in tune with their dependence upon God for all things. Are you independent or independence? Every 4th of July, if we can ask that question. Oh Lord, as we celebrate Independence Day, am I increasingly independent from You? Self-autonomous, I want my own way, or I am increasingly, Lord, by Your grace, independence upon You for all things. You might be here this morning and you're, by the Spirit of God, you're aware that the only declaration of independence in your life was the one in Genesis 3. And you are sensing right now, by the grace of God, that there needs to be another declaration of independence in your life today. The declaration of independence that says, I am in dependence upon You. For life, forgiveness, for hope, for joy and satisfaction, for heaven and not hell. If you're here this morning and the Lord is tugging on your heart, listen close. Listen close. It's a gift of God. Can you, at the deepest level of your soul, answer that question with confidence? If you were to die today, and you were to stand before the Almighty God, and He asked you, are you independent or are you independence upon Jesus for your whole hope? How would you answer? What would you say? Let me pray. Lord, this is the gospel. We are so grateful for the gift you have given us in your Son. We are free as Americans, but we are not free as humans. We are free politically, but we are, Lord, apart from you, enslaved, living out our Genesis 3 Declaration of Independence in everything we do. And so I pray, Lord, right now, by your grace, I pray that you would come into this room and stir in hearts. If anyone here only has one operating Declaration of Independence, the Genesis 3 one, I pray that you would stir in their heart faith to look to Jesus and choose him and say, I need you to make me free. I declare my dependence upon you. I place my hope in you. Save me from my sin and slavery and set me free to live. Lord, I pray that you would bring about in this room a declaration of independence given by you, a breaking of sin, a bondage, a severing of the cord of Satan and hell, and an establishing of a new heart. Life, eyes to see, ears to hear, joy in you. Father, be gracious to us, we pray. Visit your salvation in our midst. Help us to receive it in full. For all those in this room who have done so already, Lord, help us to delight more in this gift you have given today. Help us to never take for granted, oh Lord, the freedom we have. Help us to never live with some tiny little story understanding of our freedom, but to live with purpose and mission. You have given us reason to be free. Help us to not be enslaved, whether it be to the path of least resistance, to build some kind of country club church, or to be enslaved to the sin that you've already broken. We are free, Lord. Set us free to capture the commission you have given us as a church, as believers. Lord, I pray if there are free people in this room who need to be encouraged and strengthened to be free for you in the workplace, in the home, to be free for more intentional purposes in their lives, whatever you're bringing to mind right now, Lord, pray that they would be receptive and cause that to be practiced this week. We pray for your glory and our joy, gratitude for the cross of Jesus Christ that declared free those who once only knew slavery. We thank you for the gift of the gospel. We want to sing it to you, Lord, in this song. In Jesus' name, amen.